Save big on all your back-to-school needs, all in the Kroger app. Get three-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean ground beef for $3.99 a pound with your card. Then get Oreo cookies, Chips Ahoy, or Kool-Aid jammers for $1.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to the MMQB NFL podcast. I'm Connor Orr, and there are so many people on my Zoom screen today. Mitch Goldich is here. Albert Breer is here. We're going to play a little Rochambeau and we're going to put it on YouTube. Just kidding. Mitch is here to help us talk about a project that we realized that he actually came up with back in 2019, which is which teams will win the next five Super Bowls. We did it back in 2019. We did it again a couple of weeks ago. We're going to talk about it. But we're also talking about, this is a little pod crossover, guys, little peek behind the bathrobe here. Mitch has also debuted a big-time SI podcast this week on the Olympics. Nobody covers the Olympics like Mitch. He's living on Paris time. He's got the ping pong all broken down. He knows who's going to win. So before we get going, Mitch, tell us a little bit about the Olympics pod, which we are very, very excited about.
Well, bonjour, Connor. Thank you. Already you've committed a major faux pas, which is that it is officially called table tennis. And so if you were to come on my Olympics podcast and call it ping pong, you'd have to drink. That's a penalty.
Oh.
Yes, thank you. I'm excited to be here. Obviously, you know, I've been on this podcast a bunch with you. I've been on the when we had the MMQB gambling podcast on this feed. And so, yeah, I'm really excited about the Olympics podcast. I did one for SI in 2016. It's going to be live. It's not live. It's going to be daily, like every single day of the Olympics, and daily starting even before. So we're trying to get the word out and thought it'd be fun to come here. And I know you guys have a big audience and some people here are familiar with me. So I wanted to come let everyone know. If you are interested at all in the Olympics, I think you will love this podcast. We are literally the episodes Monday and Tuesday previewed all 39 sports. It's with my co-host Dan Gartland, who's been at SI for as long as I have. And yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. So if you have any interest in the Olympics at all, I think you will enjoy the podcast. It's called Sports Illustrated's Daily Rings. So if you're listening to this, you can find that one wherever you've got this podcast. You already know how to find podcasts, so it should be easy for you. But yeah, definitely people should go check out Sports Illustrated's Daily Rings. Thanks for letting me come on and plug it.
My one last thing here is that a lot of times when sports writers cover the Olympics, it's like, you know, you just like the kind of the famous sports writers get to just ship off to Paris for a couple of weeks and then they just kind of jump into it and start covering the Olympics. Mitch is trying to cover every sport as if he has been covering it for his entire life. And so I will say that if you want the one good, authentic Olympics podcast that doesn't suck, it's going to belong to Mitch. He's going to have great guests. He's going to have great analysis. So please, please, please do me a favor and download that one. Man, we are like, Alec Albert, if all of your flights didn't get canceled, you'd be at like training camp right now. This is football season. It's happening right now.
It's supposed to be in the air somewhere, like probably over like Nebraska or something right now. But
and who wouldn't
work out
that
for me this morning? We're gonna try again tomorrow. I would say, look, I got hit in a couple different ways by the outage over the weekend, and one airline in particular is struggling with the outage still, and you might have some issues if you are flying that airline over the next week or so, which I will be again on Sunday. So yeah, I'm supposed to be in LA this morning, but I'm not there.
Top-notch work by Albert, not alienating a corporate partner on the podcast.
Well, I've had to be my own travel. I've had to be my own travel agent and my own producer this morning. So
he's still got the politician in him from the last time we were all together was our MMQB debate. Yeah. So he's still being very diplomatic.
That's right. That's right. I do like, though, that we had brought up in the pre-show meeting that even Pete Buttigieg, the Secretary of Transportation, is tweeting at Delta being like, hey, I got to get somewhere. And so it's nice to know that nothing has changed since Y2K, where we thought, like, if one computer went down, the entire world would stop. Apparently, Microsoft, like, you know, a couple lines of code got mixed up and now no one could fly anywhere, which is cool. You know,
I enjoyed how there were a couple of, like, so I was in Chicago this weekend, which we got hit on the front end by all of this, too. We only got delayed a few hours, but a couple of my friends flew Southwest, which I believe everybody on Southwest was okay over the weekend because their software wasn't updated to the latest version of Microsoft. So at least that's the story we got, which, what a weird situation. And a little, like, terrifying, too, I would think, right?
I mean, it's just, you know, it ushers us back into the days of the stagecoach, you know, or the horse and buggy, and we can just enjoy, transcontinental travel the way it was meant to be. Or maybe, like, a nice train. Have you thought about Amtrak, you know, just exploring the country?
Amtrak would be great. I just think, like, if I'm going to
you'd New miss York the whole or training Philly or, yeah. You'd finally arrive at your destination and be like, I'm here.
Just go on like an old school like barnstorming tour across the U.S.
It's like
US.
September 20th by the time you get there.
Yeah, like I'm Babe Ruth.
Oh, well.
I thought you would go with the John Madden analogy and instead you went with
John
Babe
Madden.
Ruth.
Well, no, but Babe Ruth was by train. Babe Ruth was by train. Like John Madden's by bus. I could try. Hey, if SI wants to give me a Madden cruiser, that would definitely take a lot of the legwork out of this for me.
Imagine Albert's Grill on the side of a bus. Wouldn't that be something?
I think Peter had one once with his face on it.
Peter did. He just kept getting it stuck in different like muddy fields and everything like that. Anyway, so we are looking at we're talking about the next 5 years, okay, in which teams are going to win the Super Bowl. And it seems like an impossible exercise, but it's really not. Like if you brought us back to 2019, you would say, okay, the Chiefs are probably going to win a few. And we were right. We would have said the Rams are going to win one, and we were right. And so, you know, there's not a whole lot that you're missing there, right? Mm-hmm. And so I do think that there are a couple teams that are really good, and they have good quarterbacks, and they'll probably win a Super Bowl. And there's a lot of teams that are bad, and their owners are dumb, and they're not going to win Super Bowls unless they just stumble into it. And I got in this, not in an argument, because Danny Parkins is too good to argue. He's a smart guy. But he hosts a big-time radio show in Chicago. He's filling in for Colin Cowherd last week. And I did the 12 teams that could actually win the Super Bowl. And I came on to defend my thesis. And he said, you're wrong because anything can happen at any time. Any of these teams can stumble into it. I said, Danny, I disagree. I think there's probably 8 or 9 teams that are actually good enough to do this, which is what informs the exercise. So I don't know if you guys want to each go through your own. I think that I want you both to take me through your 5. I'm going to take you through my 5. But first, I'm going to go through the teams who were not picked at all. So sorry, fans, if you just want to log out for the next half decade, here we go.
I was just say, can I respond to something you said already, though? Because I think you used the word we very liberally, and most people did not pick the Rams 5 years ago, including you, Connor, and me. I didn't pick the Rams. And I think, to me, that's what's interesting about this.
No one picked Sean McVay to win a Super Bowl 5 years ago?
No, you didn't. A lot of people picked the Patriots 5 years ago. That's what's interesting to me about this whole thing is that it's very easy to look at these are the teams that are good now, and it's so much harder to look 5 years in advance. So I wrote the intro to that piece 5 years ago and did it sort of looking back 5 years previous and what people would have said. And so that's what's interesting. I think like a lot of people sort of looked at the past 5 years when they were doing this exercise again now moving forward, where if you look at the last 5 years, the Chiefs won 3 of them, the Bucks and Rams won the others. And I think, Albert, you wrote about this in yours, that like the Bucks were a total wild card pick that no one would have had. So for me, the whole fun of this is trying to figure out not just like picking between the top 3 or 4 teams that are the best now, but trying to think about who's going to be good like 5 years ago, 5 years from now. Because to me, that's the whole fun of it is like, if you think about all that changed in the last 5 years, like the quarterback movement, you know, so many players change teams that you wouldn't have thought would have happened over that 5-year period. Tom Brady and Matthew Stafford, who both won Super Bowls. Russell Wilson changed his team. Even like Carson Wentz, you would have thought was entrenched at the time because he had just gotten paid. And even guys like Matt Ryan and Philip Rivers. And it's like unbelievable how many players are going to change teams. It's fun to think we have no idea what the league is going to look like 5 years from now. And that's what I think is fun. Not about guessing who's going to win Super Bowl 59, but who's going to win Super Bowl 63.
I just think there's a lot of chalk here. I don't know. I mean, like the point I made was, if you go back to 19, the only surprise is the Bucs. Like everybody could have seen the Rams. The Chiefs were obvious at the time. They were coming off of Mahomes' MVP year and his second year in the league. And then the Bucs got Tom Brady. You know, and then you want to go back to 5 years before that. Patriots, Broncos, Patriots, Eagles, Patriots. Now, I think people would have been able to see the Eagles. That was maybe a little bit more of a wild card because Chip Kelly was the coach and coming off of a really promising first year in 14. But
some
I don't
say
think anybody would
some
have
say
it
one
been.
Of the best debuts for a head coach in NFL history.
I don't think anybody Chip would Kelly. Have thought it was crazy though. The Broncos 3 and the Patriots 1. So like, it's like that old Jimmy Johnson, Bill Belichick thing. Like Jimmy Johnson. Said this to Bill, I think, way back when Bill was in Cleveland or something like that. He said every year there are only 8 teams that can win. There are only 7 or 8 teams that can win. And I know, Connor, that's kind of the premise of what you wrote. There just aren't that many teams capable of doing it. And, when you look at the last 10 and you want to look at those 5-year blocks, the Eagles would have been surprised only because it was with Doug Peterson and not Chip Kelly as the coach, right? And then the Buccaneers would have been a surprise, but they got Tom Brady. So the other 8, I think, would have been considered chalk at the time that they were picked, which is why I picked the way that I picked. You know, it's fun to pick the curveball. Is the curveball going to land in the strike zone? Like the recent history tells us no, right?
I mean, speaking as someone who did pick the Buccaneers, in 19, but I had them moving to San Antonio. So no. There was a lot of complicating factors in that. I rarely do I take the prompt at face value.
Luckiest dart throw you've maybe ever made was just deciding the San Antonio Buccaneers would win a Super Bowl.
That's right. Like I said, always believed in Tom Brady. So the teams who are not going to win the Super Bowl in the next 5 years. So again, look, this is just this is Mitch, Albert, this is editor John Plume, SI senior writer Mike Rosenberg, staff writer Matt Verderam, Gilberto Manzano, and Greg Bishop. They do not believe in your teams. So just all of those people, you can find them. They don't believe in your teams. The Jets, the Patriots, the Browns, the Steelers, the Colts, the Jags, the Titans, the Broncos, the Raiders, the Commanders, the Cowboys, the Giants, the Bears, the Packers, the Bucks, the entire NFC South.
NFC South will not win a Super Bowl according to 8 different people.
And the Cardinals and the Seahawks. So the AFC South was the only division that did not, NFC South, only division in its entirety that is not projected to have a Super Bowl winner. Who broke down and did the Texans? All right, we're going to get to that. All right, so that's
12 teams got picked and 20 teams didn't from our panel of 8 people.
Which is, I mean, I go back to it every year. I think there are 12. And I think there, and because 12 builds in, like the Jimmy Johnson thing was, I think there's 8. I think that there's 12 because 12 builds in for weirdness, whether it's like, the Tom Brady trade, for example. And I want credit for picking the Patriots because Tom Brady was the Patriots. Now we've figured that out, right? So double credit for doing the Bucs and the Patriots. The greatest player in NFL history changes teams after everything sours. That's something that you can't really project. Or a COVID-shortened season in which Tom Brady had a distinct advantage as being, the best player in NFL history. So, I don't know. All these things said. Mitch, why don't you take us through your next 5? Give us a glimpse into the future.
Sure. Well, and I just want to say, I think people went very chalk, as you'll see, because what's interesting is, like, we talk so much about the advantages of having a QB on a rookie contract, and, like, nobody picked Caleb Williams or Jane Daniels or Drake May. Like, the rookies were not picked, and this doesn't even account for, like, the teams that will be bad this year and draft a franchise quarterback in 2025 and 2026 and then have that stud as a second and third year player. So I think teams really, people really did go chalk, but I'm happy to walk you through my picks. I picked the, let me pull it up here. I picked the Chiefs, the Texans, the Ravens, the Eagles, which Connor, you and I were the only people who picked the Eagles. And I am the only person in the entire panel who picked Sean McVay and those Los Angeles Rams, which I'm excited to talk about. So those are my five.
So I'm going to meet you at rookie quarterbacks, and then I want to loop back around to Rams. I'm curious to hear all of your takes on this. I think that the days of the win it on the QB's rookie contract, I think that's played out. I think it's done. I think that we're seeing all these teams move with those machinations anyway. Like the Texans are a good example this offseason, right? Hey, good first season. Everything's rolling. Let's trade for Stephon Diggs. Let's bring in a bunch of free agents. Let's spend the money while we can spend the money. But I mean, what, it happened once or twice in a short period of time, and then all of a sudden everybody kind of, I think, got it twisted that that's the formula. I completely disagree. I think that the entire roster has to be pre-baked before you get that guy in there. And we're talking about whether it was the Rams with Stafford, the Bucks with Brady, you know, all of these really good teams. I mean, even the Chiefs roster was fairly pre-baked before Mahomes got there. And then he was ushered through. You know, Jordan Love, same thing. So I don't know. I think that there has to be much more. Like, do you ever get a pizza crust from Pillsbury?
I don't think I have from Pillsbury, no.
No? Like the Pillsbury Doughboy pizza crust?
Haven't done it.
You have to cook it for 8 minutes in the oven before you even take it out to put the ingredients on to cook it a second time. That's what we're talking about, Mitch. I don't know if you're like, I used to write about food. Pre-baking is an essential part of the culinary process. So I don't know. I'm out on it, but explain to me why the Texans appealed to you specifically.
Sure. And so I'll also say it, and it's always like it comes out to sample size, but the thing about having a good quarterback on a rookie contract, like, a lot of them got to the Super Bowl and lost the game. And I know people say, well, they lost, so that proves my point was right. But, like, I think just if a couple of games go a little differently, we're talking about it differently, including, like, Brock Purdy was literally in the Super Bowl this year and the game went to overtime and he would have been a quarterback on a rookie contract on an otherwise pre-baked team. And then maybe you'd think differently. And some of those other guys, again, got to the game and lost. But yeah, I mean, I think the Texans are also just like a good team. I will say that was the pick that I was maybe least excited about, not to try and like excuse away my picks. But I just think that's a team, you know, it's a classic rising team where I think I like the coach and quarterback combination, and they brought in new guys and cleaned house and they have talent around them, and I like their wide receivers. And I just think, you know, looking at who's like the next quarterback that's going to jump into that elite level, I think it's reasonable to look at CJ Stroud's rookie season and say he's going to be that guy who's going to be up there with, not saying he'll be as good as Mahomes, but if you look at like Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, and people definitely skew quarterback heavy, like, I think it's very reasonable to look at the young QBs of the last 2 years and say, well, CJ Stroud's going to be the guy who's going to be in that tier.
I like that they, I mean, I honestly think, you know, when you look at the job, and it's easy to do this, you know, with hindsight, but you look at the job they did building for the 2 years before Stroud got there and the offensive line that Stroud's got in front of him, and the amount of resources they poured into it, whether it's re-signing Laremy Tunsil, you know, they spent, and this hasn't panned out yet, but a high first-round pick on Kenyon Green. They've poured resource after resource into that area. They poured resources into the defensive line. I like how they've sequenced their build. And it does, to some degree, feel like where the Chiefs were, you know, in 19. And I know it's not apples for apples because CJ is coming off of his rookie year. Mahomes is coming off of his second year. And I'm not saying that CJ Stroud is going to become Patrick Mahomes, because as good as Stroud's been, like, that's an impossibly high bar to set. But they do have the look of a team that can compete in a really rugged AFC. And I think that's the other part of all of this, is that, you know, like, that's the AFC now, like, you look at what you're going to have to go through to compete. And if you're not a team with one of these quarterbacks, how daunting that looks. I mean, it used to be, I think if you go back 10, 15 years, it was like, well, we have to get by Brady and Manning in the AFC. And maybe some, one of them gets upset and we just have to beat one of them to get beat the other one to get to the Super Bowl. That could be your path, right? You know, now you look at it, it's Mahomes, it's Josh Allen, it's Joe Burrow, it's Justin Herbert, it's Lamar Jackson, it's C.J. Stroud. It's just, I mean, you can come up with seven or eight names where it's like, we're going to have to beat three of those teams, three of those guys in a row to get to the Super Bowl. You know, to the point where it's almost impossible if you don't have one. And so you almost have to be in that club where you have one of those guys. And the Texans, it looks like, do have one of those guys now.
I'm wondering.
Were the dynamics different in the NFC, I would say.
I mean, clearly no one's as afraid of Daniel Jones as they should be. but I'm wondering if, you know, the NFL is cyclical, and I think that's what I like about it. But since, you know, I started covering this league in 2010, Albert a little bit before that. And, you know, it just seems like every year, right, we get excited about the same kinds of teams only to be let down. And Houston, to me, is one of those where it's like, okay, we have this situation where you won the division by a game. Like, again, the Texans look dominant at times, but we forget, like, one game over the Indianapolis Colts led by Gardner Minshew, and that team actually scored 20 more points than the Texans last year, which is wild. The Texans gave up a lot fewer points. They had a good defense last year. But part of me is like, wow, like, that's kind of weird. And maybe Anthony Richardson is the key to unlocking that, or Joe Flacco. I mean, who knows, right? Joe Flacco probably could bring two teams to the playoffs in 2 years, which would be pretty awesome. But I'm just not, I'm not 100% sold on the Texans. I think that's one of those picks that, like, you know, I don't know. It's, it seems right in the moment. Like, it's like buying the Tesla Cybertruck. You know, like, it seems like it's something that makes sense. And then 4 years from now, you're going to be like, my wife left me, I'm out of money. And, you know, I have this silly looking thing that looks like a George Foreman grill. What am I going to do? But the other one, Mitch, that I want to tackle from yours, and then I want to get over to Albert's, is the Rams, which I thought was a great pick because, and I'm curious to hear your take, but I do feel like there's an ability for Sean McVay, if he stays, to just always have what he has and just to keep pushing quarterbacks off the conveyor belt because someone else is going to want to come and play there. It's a good offense. You know, at some point they'll replace Cooper Kupp and they'll pair him with Puka Nacua. They kind of have this assembly line approach to wide receivers. They're still one of the only teams in the NFL that value these tough, physical dudes who are just willing to learn the blocking scheme, right? And maybe they get one more of those. I could definitely see them hitting another Super Bowl at some point.
Yeah, so I agree with a lot of what you just said, and I wrote about that. And by the way, people can search for this. It's also, it happens to be our pinned tweet from the MMQB account, or you could just Google, you know, MMQB Ooh. Next five Super Bowls. But yeah, I think so. And actually, this goes back a little bit to the Texans' point about how people like fall in love with a different team. And it's like, nobody picked the Jaguars, but if we did this exercise 12 months ago, somebody would have, because people just looked at Trevor Lawrence differently and coming off of the playoff comeback. And so I tried to think about in all of my picks, like, what would I have done? What would I have picked a year ago?
Right.
Because Connor, you love focusing on the owners and long-term and stability. And so I thought, like, who are the teams that are always there? And so the Texans were my one outlier. But other than that, I took the Chiefs, the Ravens, the Eagles, and the Rams, which are four teams that have been, like, stable and long-term success. And I believe in the front offices, you know, building back up if they have to. And so I like the Rams a lot. I love that I'm on an island with them. And I hinted at this at the start. There's been so much quarterback movement. And I think the Rams can easily win in their whatever their post-Matthew Stafford time looks like. And I even listed this, but, like, who knows how the league's going to change in 5 years. And some of those great quarterbacks we've talked about, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, like, it sounds crazy to announce, like, I'm going to pick such and such quarterback. I don't even want to say a name right now. This quarterback's going to be run out of town and have to find a new team and hop teams. But But like, there's a better odds of just if you take the field, like somebody is going to have to leave town because their team will have to rebuild or relationships will be damaged or some guy will get hurt and a young quarterback comes in as the backup and plays amazingly and creates a really difficult decision. So like something interesting will happen where some quarterback we don't expect is going to be suddenly available. And like you said about other teams, I think the Rams are really well positioned that you'd look at their situation and you'd say, this is a really stable franchise. This is a really talented team. We can just drop a quarterback in and they're Super Bowl contenders, which we just literally saw them do with Matthew Stafford. And so I love the idea of the Rams just being competitive the next couple years. And frankly, like they could win this year with Matthew Stafford, who knows? But even like thinking 3, 4, 5 years down the line, maybe that's just a really appealing destination for the next quarterback who is looking to the next like top tier quarterback who's ready to change teams and go win a Super Bowl in a new city.
Absolutely.
I think they got the flexibility to take big swings again too, which I mean, like I don't know that McVay got enough credit for what happened last year where they had $75 million in dead cap. And for, you know, those who don't know what that means a 30-year salary cap is committed to players who are not on the team. And last year was their reset year. And they finally had a first-round pick again. And they've got a full complement of picks going forward. And they're going to continue to get the comp picks because of the way that they work that. And, you know, they had kind of mortgaged that you thought eventually they're going to come to this point where it's all going to come crashing down on them. And that was supposed to be last year. And they made the playoffs. So I think it just speaks to the sustainability of what they've built. The quarterback thing's obviously a big question. I would have less, I mean, it's which is way less daunting in the NFC. Like the idea of like what the path's going to be to get to the Super Bowl, all due respect to Brock Purdy and Jalen Hurts, like are those guys Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes? I don't think so. You know what I mean? Like I just don't. Or Josh Allen for that matter. They're not Josh Allen either. So, you know, I just think like the path helps you too there if you're the Rams, where you are not going to have to get into, you know, a string of 35-31 shootouts where your quarterback needs to be one of the, you know, 5 or 6 best guys in the league.
I'm at least
on paper right now. You know, and who knows what happens with Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams, but for right now, it doesn't look the same.
And Bryce Young, guys, come on. Forgetting about Bryce Young. All right, Albert, take me through yours. Also, if you want to include your top 5 Democratic nominees for president. No, I'm just kidding. Albert, walk me through the next 5 teams that are going to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, so my premise here would be that I think it's smart to pick chalk because of that like research I did back into it. So I wanted to have one wild card. My wild card isn't that wild card. It's the Chargers. And it's just because, you know, Jim Harbaugh has built something that's very identifiable wherever he goes. And I think, as they've used this line before here, Connor, like I think he's going to get more out of Justin Herbert by asking less of him because that's what he's done with quarterbacks everywhere he's gone. That's how they fixed Alex Smith, in San Francisco. That's really how they built up Andrew Luck in Stanford. If you look at it, like when Toby Gerhart was there, at the beginning, Andrew Luck was almost like a sidecar to the running game at Stanford. And obviously at Michigan, like the way that they, you know, kind of took the identity to another level over the last 9 years. So, I just think he's got this ability to build something that's very identifiable that now is something that looks very different than what the rest of the league is doing. And I don't know that we've seen him do it with this level of a quarterback before. So I just think there are a lot of things the Chargers have going for them so long as they can make the right moves on the personnel side. And I think bringing over a Raven-centric front office that knows what it looks like because they were with John, led by the GM Joe Ortiz, I think positions them to be in it every year. And that's the key to me, guys. Like when I'm looking at this, I'm just like looking and saying, who's going to be knocking on the door every year? Like that's how New England won 6 Super Bowls. They were the last 3 Super Bowls. Like that was as part of a stretch where they were in the AFC Championship game 8 years in a row. And so like, I think the Chargers are going to be a team that's going to be knocking on the door for the next few years and maybe break through once. I think a lot of people are sleeping on the Bengals. 2 straight AFC title games, a Super Bowl. they were very competitive last year after losing Joe Burrow. And I think I would take Burrow over any quarterback in the NFL right now, not name Mahomes, for the next 10 years. So that one was pretty simple for me. The Chiefs, no need for an explanation there. And then the Niners obviously have been, you know, to use that term again, knocking on the door the last few years. And I think they will break through.
So this is an interesting one, right? And I want to I'm going to surprise both of you by throwing a little bit of a curveball here, which is people love this stuff, especially really early in the morning and when they've got travel issues and everything like that. They love going on a podcast.
And they're yawning nonstop.
Yeah, they're yawning nonstop. They just love being completely surprised. But we all had the Chiefs on that list. And something crazy is going to happen. What would have to happen for the Chiefs to never win another Super Bowl again? And I think about it this way, right? We have Travis Kelce is a great player. He's changing the way he plays. He's not going to be able to play like Travis Kelce. I think he will still be very valuable, even if he wants to play another three or four seasons with this team. But he's not going to be that guy. And I do think that there was a lot of table setting that he did in that offense. You know, he bailed the team out on a lot of third downs. He really understood, this is what his coaches told me when we did Sports Person of the Year last year, he really understood the ability to create openings and alleyways for other people. Like if you watch, I mean, he really does. He's good at throwing himself into the middle of a defense, drawing coverage, and allowing somebody else to get open. So let's say that guy gets plucked out. He gets married to Taylor Swift. They move to Barcelona. Whatever happens, you know, that's a separate prediction. But he just ages out, right? Which is kind of the natural thing there. You're going to have to do some patchwork on the offensive line. Chris Jones is crawling into his 30s. You know, we all think that they're going to win at least one more. I think Matt Verderame had them winning the next five, if I'm not mistaken. Just kidding. Love you, Matt.
Albert had two, by the way, in case people were wondering why Albert only named four teams.
Albert had two.
If anyone was doing the math in their
head. I had
head.
The Chiefs winning two.
Yeah.
What in what world, A, can you imagine it? And B, what is the likelihood of that? Because I think that may be the thing that we're not thinking about, right? Is that what if the Chiefs are just kind of like every other team that's like, you know, hey, it's great for a while, and then it just, you know, it's no longer great.
Or if we want to talk about New England,
right.
You know, as a comp, they went 10 years without winning, you know, like, and that's an easy thing to kind of wash away, but that was almost two separate dynasties. Like, that was one where they won in 01 and 03 and 04, and then they didn't win again until 14, and then, of course, again in 16 and 18. So, I would look at like what happened with them as instructive, which they hit a slump drafting and didn't really recover. Like the recovery really happened in 2010 with Gronkowski, McCourty, and Hernandez class. And that class, like it took them a while. The Patriots got really young and they were good, but they couldn't get over the hump. So I think it would have to be either they hit a real slump from a personnel standpoint, which, I mean, the law of averages would tell us that's probably coming, you know, or, and this one's much simpler, Andy Reid retires and they just can't find a way sufficiently to replace him. Now, I think Andy wants to keep going. We're going to be doing this every year, but I don't think I don't think the fire's gonna dim in the next couple of years. But he is, what, 65, right? I think. I got to look it up. But, you know, when you've got a coach that age, there's that would always be part of the equation, is if Andy Reid's not there anymore, we assume Holmes will be, he's 66. If Andy Reid's not there, then that's obviously a major factor. And, you know, I my guess would be Matt Nagy winds up replacing him. But regardless, like, if you lose Andy Reid, there's going to be an effect to that. And if you don't do enough good enough job replacing him, and I think Nagy would be a good replacement, good relationship with Mahomes and all the rest of it. But of course, we've seen, you know, where replacing a legend, sometimes it can take a franchise three or four hires to get it right again.
Yeah, I was going to say that too about if Andy Reid walks away, that's obviously a huge problem. I don't know. We don't know how big of a problem it would be, but that's at least there's a continuity issue where it's like when you say what could you possibly imagine going wrong, like that could potentially be a big loss. And I would also just say, like, again, it's hard. I wanted to pick more than five teams. And so it's not impossible to imagine the Chiefs not getting another one, because otherwise you're saying, well, some of these other great quarterbacks are never going to get one. And I'm saying, you know, Josh Allen's not going to get one. Joe Burrow's not going to get one, at least in the next 5 years. So also looking at like what happened to the Patriots, part of the formula would be just some like crushing playoff losses. Like the Patriots got back to a couple in that stretch and they lost to the Giants twice. And so like what would keep the Chiefs out, you know, shut them out for the next 10 years? Probably they're still in the mix and they would lose a crazy Super Bowl to the Lions or the Niners or the Rams or the Eagles or whoever. And maybe, you know, thinking about like an AFC title game loss, if, you know, they could easily just get back and they lose to Joe Burrow again in the AFC championship game, or Josh Allen finally beats them once. And if you get in a run where that happens, you know, over a stretch of 3, 4, 5 years, then those years start to add up. And then again, like Albert said, with the Patriots having to reload, you get more guys retire, and then it's just, you have fewer guys on the roster who were there when they went to 4 Super Bowls in 5 years. And so that just kind of happens sometimes.
Part of me loves the idea of Patrick Mahomes winning like 4 more. And how many does he have now? He has 3?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Tom Brady has 7?
Yep.
Part of me just loves the idea of him winning the next 5, and then he becomes the unquestionably the greatest player of all time, and then retires at like 34 instead of like Brady had to play until he was like 46 in order to do this, and then just walks completely off into the sunset and like franchises like he would be like a good spokesman for like a really comfortable ride on lawnmower, you know, or something like that.
You don't think he'd win number 8 and then just immediately try to take Brady's job in the booth and just say, well, I'm the best now.
That would be great. That'd be a tough voice to listen to over the course of 60 minutes. I mean, I'm just saying, I love Patrick Mahomes. I think he's a phenomenal athlete. But there are people who have really great skills that just maybe it just doesn't hit the earbuds quite
Brady's
right.
Brady's on a 10-year contract, so he just has to win 5 of the next 10 and then he can just swoop right in.
We're all stuck in the algorithm. It doesn't matter. All right, I'm going to give you mine. And so here's the deal. I was also, I feel like somewhat chalky. The one team that we did not discuss here, I also picked the Chargers like Albert. I have the Bills in here just because, and my theory on the Bills is this, and then we'll get to the team that I actually want to talk about. My theory on the Bills is this. You have Josh Allen, and Josh Allen is like the thing. Like Josh Allen is this tank that can just plow through insane levels of human thickness. How about that? What do you think about that?
Exactly.
I don't know
how
I
would
going with that.
It. Yeah.
Don't cut it, Shelby. Don't cut it. Don't cut it. I'm gonna keep it in. but he's just like this massive human being. And sometimes when all else fails, right? Like maybe it's a weird year in the NFL schematically where it's a very defense forward year, which we get like every 3 or 4 years. Scoring is way down. You know, nobody's innovating and a couple of people get hurt or whatever. And Josh Allen just gets on a heater. And when he gets hot, he is one of the best players in the NFL. I don't think that's controversial to say. He's one of those guys that I just feel like can get on a roll. And it doesn't really matter what he has around him because he is, as I just said, a tank capable of penetrating all measures of human thickness, Mitch.
Anyway. Don't name stamp me at the end of that sentence.
Like you always say, Mitch, when the camera's off, I got this from you. But the team that I really want to talk about here is the Detroit Lions. And I think that, guys, they're built to win this thing. And you can say what you want about Jared Goff, but part of me thinks that, I mean, you know, not that you throw anybody back there, but I would say minimum, you give me a healthy Tyrod Taylor, and I think that this team has Super Bowl aspirations. Now, Jared Goff is better than a healthy Tyrod Taylor. I'm not conflating the two. But Tyrod Taylor healthy is my minimum. Maybe like Gardner Minshew plus is my minimum. And I still feel good about that team making the Super Bowl. They are that good. They are that deep. I don't think anybody is talking about how good this defensive line and this front seven is going to be. If they can figure out the back end of that secondary, they could go like 14-3 this year.
Well, I think there's a Mitchell will appreciate this. I think there's an Eagles quality to them. And, you know, like I think so much of the Eagles' success, like, and people don't like to talk about or pay attention to this, but it's like what they've had on the lines of scrimmage and how rare it was to have the four linemen that they had together for all of those years. And Jason Kelce, Lane Johnson, Brandon Graham, and Fletcher Cox. Now, two of those guys are gone. I think that's an interesting element to what's going on in Philadelphia. But the part of the reason, you know, like they're as good as they are is because when you're that good on the lines of scrimmage, you're going to be in every game. And that's the foundation for the Lions. You know, the offensive line, Taylor Decker and Penei Sewell and Frank Ragnow are three like serious foundation pieces. And only one of those guys is, you know, closing in, I'd say, on the end. And that's probably Decker, right? And then on the defensive line, like you said, like you've got Aleem McNeil, who, again, not a household name, but a guy who's a rising young star
Beast.
For them. You've added DJ Reader and you have Aiden Hutchinson. And so, like, you've got like legitimate strength on the lines of scrimmage, and everything for that team runs through the lines of scrimmage. And, you know, I think taking care of that first, again, it's the sequencing of it. They took the same thing I talked about with the Texans, where they took care of those areas first, and then they started to add the defensive backs and the receivers. And I look at them as a team that theoretically, like you look at it, it's like that team should be in the playoffs every year. Now they're in a difficult division, and I think that division is only going to get tougher. But I don't think what we saw the last couple years, like really the last year and a half, I don't think there's any flash in the pan to it. I think that's all very, very real.
Connor Orr's most underrated Aleem McNeil, by the way, Albert, just saying. Mitch, agree with me.
I do agree with you. I like the Lions a lot, and I have not finalized my picks. I know who I'm picking to win the Super Bowl this year, but it's not the Lions. Well, I said the Lions won't win a Super Bowl within the next 5 years, so it would be foolish of me to pick them this year. But I'm thinking about putting them in the Super Bowl. That's what's funny about this is that there are a lot of teams you want to pick, and then if you don't pick them, it automatically turns you into a hater. Where
yes,
it's like
that's
like
kind of what I'm trying to do here. Yeah,
and it's the same as like with all-star snubs when people are complain like this guy should have been an all-star. And it's like, okay, well then you have to like tell us who you would have taken off the team to make room for them. And so it's like I defended my picks of my five teams, and then it's hard to be like, well, these other teams. It doesn't mean that I hate them. I just don't think they're going to win a Super Bowl. I'm not sitting here saying the Lions are bad or the, you know, I went with a little bit. And no offense to Jared Goff. I like Jared Goff, but like I went with a little bit more higher upside on quarterback talent, I think, with most of my picks here. And so I left the Lions off. I had to leave off somebody. I'm sorry.
Well, you're assuming like the concept of being a hater doesn't exist here, which just isn't true, because Connor's situation with the Buccaneers, I think, would be exhibit A that it is for sure. It does for sure have a presence here.
And it's so weird because I picked them to win a Super Bowl. like I said, I'm really glad that I've got a note from producer Mitch here he's going to just selectively kind of clip some of that stuff from Mitch, and then we'll just CC the Lions on Twitter, get a little pop from that. No, the best part of doing this job, there was a whole morning show based on this that I believe is coming back at some point here, but is to say how nobody is talking about how great something is without then quantifying what becomes ungreat in the process and then framing everybody else as anti that thing. And it's so great that, you know,
wow.
I don't know how lucky I became to get on this Lions bandwagon, but because I feel like I was pretty late, if I'm being 100% honest with you. But I've already said that Detroit barbecue is superior to that of Kansas City. I mean that. Well, I think it's tied. Detroit barbecue is on the same plane as Kansas City barbecue. Okay, I've predicted the Lions are going to beat the Cincinnati Bengals in the Super Bowl. I'm all in. And
it was
so,
just a year ago, the three of us were deciding Connor's new favorite team and helping you let you wanted to be a bandwagon fan, and we helped you pick the Bengals for that bandwagon. And here you've abandoned them already.
And they're still very much they hold an important place in my heart. This is all, you know, it's all going to make sense. It's all going to be together. But the fact that Mitch is so anti the Lions at this point is really the headline, is kind of what I'm trying to
he hates
come across here. And I mean, the stuff that you said about Goff was truly stunning. I don't know if anybody,
God forbid, I like Lamar Jackson more than Jared Goff. Sorry, everybody.
So if just in case, if you guys have this on double speed, just hit the back 30 button twice there, and just, you know, just make sure you really.
What's funny about you riling up the Lions here is actually that nobody should be more upset about this exercise than Packers fans, because Jordan Love had such a good season last year.
That's
and Packers,
true.
And Packers fans, not a single person picked the Packers. Meanwhile, five people picked the Lions, and actually multiple people picked the Vikings. So no one should be angrier than
the Vikings.
Nobody should. Did you not look at this graph that we have that I sent you? So like nobody should be angrier than Packers fans. And you're trying to turn this, you're trying to get the Lions fans all riled up that only 5 out of 8 people picked them to win the Super Bowl.
Hold on. These people need to be named. These people need to be named. Who picked the Vikings?
Let's name them. So one was John Plume, which barely counts because that's a homer pick. He is a Vikings fan. He's our editor. And then the other one was Michael Rosenberg, who, and maybe you want to call that a Michigan pick with the J.J. McCarthy. But Rosenberg also picked. So the Vikings got multiple picks.
Yeah, he picked J.J. McCarthy and Jim Harbaugh.
Yes,
good
he did.
God.
Yeah, we didn't really run down the in order of like which teams got picked the most, but it,
and I for the record did not pick C.J. Stroud, so I'm on the level here.
Should I name all the teams? And
we got to clarify though, Albert, are any of the five teams that won the Super Bowl being coached by a Renaissance appearance from Urban Meyer or no?
Renaissance appearance, like he
works his way back to the NFL. And takes over one of those teams. Was that part of your calculus at all?
No.
All right. Just making sure.
No.
Kirk Herbstreit.
There won't be an encore.
Santonio Holmes. Any other famous Buckeye? No. Just kidding. All right. Let's go.
All right. So the Chiefs had 10, and everybody picked them, and they got picked for multiple titles by a couple people. Then next was the Lions with 6, the Niners with 5, the Chargers with 4, Texans with 3, and then a bunch of teams with 2, which is the Ravens, Bills, Bengals, Eagles, and Vikings. And then the two island teams that got only one pick was my pick of the Rams, and Greg Bishop was the only person who picked the Dolphins.
Yeah, I think Greg was also the only person who picked a team other than the Chiefs to win multiple Super Bowls.
Yes, he has the Lions with 2.
Twice.
I do think that the Packers probably have the biggest reason to be upset, because it is like when we talk about, to put a bow on where we were at the beginning of the show, right? Traditionally really strong franchise, great decision makers, excellent head coach. They do everything right. And those teams end up kind of stumbling into good opportunities more often than not. And as long as you're in the tournament, you know, and you're whatever, you're a top 3 or 4 seed, like feasibly, like you kind of have that chance. And I do think probably over the next 4 or 5 years, the Packers are going to be in that situation, right? Where they're a top 4 or 5 seed. The NFC is still weak, you know? And
yeah, I mean, I think that's the big thing. I mean, if you look at it, and again, I'm like looking at the last 15 just because I have them up here. Really no one comes out of nowhere. I mean, like you look at it, like the Buccaneers were the one that came out of nowhere, really. The Saints have been making the Saints have been pretty competitive under Sean Payton. The Packers obviously are the Packers. The Giants have won a Super Bowl a few years earlier. The Ravens, perennial power. The Seahawks had been building for a few years, so they're maybe a little bit more of an out of nowhere one, but they became a sustained winner and kept getting shots. And then you get the Patriots, the Broncos, the Eagles, the Chiefs, the Rams. Like, they're just, you don't, I don't know if I even realized it until we did this exercise. You don't have, like, a flash in the pan champion, you know? Like, you just don't. They're all pretty much all of them are sustained winners.
Chip Kelly comes back. I reserve the right to change my pick
No, he's going to finish his career out as Ohio State's play caller with a couple national championships there, Connor. So you can forget about that.
Mm-mm-mm. Connor, do you want to talk about the Eagles at all? You and I were the only ones who picked them. Do you want to say anything about the Eagles? I'm a homer Eagles fan, but if you have anything to add.
So I would just say along the lines of this, at Philly is another city that I kind of discovered, like Detroit, when it was at its lowest point, and I helped to bring them up and to really show the rest of the country what it was like and why it was so great. But I think similar to the Packers, you know, I just think that they're going to end up backing into this thing more often than not. And you can use my Chiefs argument, my anti-Chiefs argument against me without Jason Kelce, eventually without Lane Johnson, Fletcher Cox, Brandon Graham. What is this team? And they could have just caught on to this insane ride of excellent people and good team building folks and all that kind of stuff. But it does seem like every, whatever, half decade, they have a really good football team, right? And I think that starts from the top. And I really do think that they have a top five owner and a GM. That's not a controversial statement. And so when you do have those things and you possess the ability to be aggressive, you know, I said the other day, and some people got mad, I did my quarterback carousel, that, you know, why are we assuming that Jalen Hurts is going to be on this team in 2 years?
Right. I would agree with that.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, like, I think the Kenny Pickett thing, I think there's a little bit more to that than
where there's smoke, there's picket. That's what's saying, going
I'm
on.
Saying, I'm not saying he's going to be the starter, but I would say, like, you at least create a little tension there. Like, you're not putting a guy in that room that's going to be a resource to Jalen Hurts. You're putting a guy in there who's trying to still make his mark and become a starter again, you know? So I think there was a little something to that. And they've got two new coordinators, and again, they lost a couple of like very important core guys in Jason Kelce and Fletcher Cox. So they've shown an ability to do this. And the owner, I think, is a really underrated part of it, because I think Jeffrey Lurie has, I mean, the way that they spend cash over cap and the way that they've mortgaged, like, you have to remember, like, that means the owner spending, like, the cash going out is at a really high level. The Rams did that obviously for a lot of years too. So that's eventually going to crash on them, but their willingness to do it in the here and now helps. You know, the reason I didn't have them there was just because I just think it's going to be really hard to replace some of the outgoing guys over the next few years. And as much as they've invested in it, it's easier said than done.
Mitch, any thoughts from your homer heart here?
Yeah, well, I defended the homer pick by saying, again, this is another team that it sort of is arbitrary that we're doing this now, this offseason, and the only reason is because we did it 5 years ago, which was also arbitrary at that time. If we had done this last summer, I think half the panel, maybe more, would have picked the Eagles. And even with retirements, you know, I think people just would have looked at them differently coming off of their Super Bowl loss season instead of, you know, the collapse they had down the stretch last year. And so I just think I tried not to put too much stock in the last 12 months that we saw and think about these franchises like over the long term. And like you've said, Connor, and, you know, you and I are in agreement here. I just think they're a team that you see them, they're able to get back. And it might not be, you know, the next two seasons, but it could be 4 or 5 seasons from now. I think they're a logical team to be there at some point in that window.
Before I let you all go, like we said at the top, Mitch is hosting Sports Illustrated's Daily Rings. It's going to be great. We're going to be in the throes of the Olympics.
I've got my festive, like, 12-year-old t-shirt here. I think London was 12 years ago, right?
How brave of Albert supporting Team USA here in the – no, I'm just kidding. Give me your one Olympics bold prediction. I will start. I don't think, Mitch, that South Korea is going to win men's team archery.
Wow. Who do you think's going to win?
I think it's going to be Japan. So, just throwing it out
South
there.
South Korea, like a big archery powerhouse?
I don't know.
They are?
All right.
I think they are. Yeah.
Let me give you my, I don't know if it's a bold prediction, but my breakout sport. And I think this will give you an idea of the kinds of things we're going to be talking about on the podcast. We're going to talk about track and swimming and gymnastics, but I want to tell you about kayak cross. Okay, they have the canoe. It used to be called canoe kayak as the sport discipline. Now it's just canoe. But they have the slalom races where they're on these man-made courses with rapids, and they're paddling around gates, and it's like timed, and you got to hit the gates or there's time penalties. And it used to be just you would do it like one person at a time down the course. Timed. They still have that, but they have this new sport where there are actually going to be four boats in the water at once racing through the rapids. And I feel like people don't know this exists, and it's going to be so much fun. It's making its Olympic debut. You can see other races like qualifiers on YouTube. And so that's my pick for my like breakout new sport. I don't know if everyone's going to be talking about it, but I'm going to be talking about it. I'm going to tell everyone when they can watch it. So yeah, we're going to get into all the niche sports and the tiny stuff and the funny things and the goofy and the crazy. And so yeah, hope people check it out. It's going to be a good time.
Albert, how many gold medals for Austria?
Well, it's the Summer Olympics, so zero. But come the Winter Olympics, they're going to dominate. Their soccer team did pretty good, too. I don't know if you noticed. Kind of choked against Turkey there at the end, though.
I mean, everybody can choke on Turkey.
They beat the Netherlands, though, which is huge. Like, no one was expecting that. Not even my dear old Austrian mom.
I'm nodding like I know what you're talking about. Great job, everybody, on the podcast today. Very, very excited for all the teams who are not fans of the teams who are not going to win a Super Bowl for the next 5 years. Really sorry. I guess you guys shouldn't have done all the things that you did up to this point. And,
sorry, Raider Nation.
Cowboys fans.
Broncos. Why'd you spend $20 million on a coach and you're not going to get anything for it? Thanks for listening to the MMQB podcast. Let's ride.
Connor had the Bucks on that list of teams that didn't win the Super Bowl, just so you know.
Cut that part out. All right. Thanks, guys, very much. We're going to be back. Everybody's back. Football season's back. Very excited. Let's do this.
Save big on all your back-to-school needs, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean ground beef for $3.99 a pound with your card. Then get Oreo cookies, Chips Ahoy, or Kool-Aid jammers for $1.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.